Brother Robert, come and show us what the Lord laid on your heart. This will be the last time Brother Robert gets to come and scream and holler at us. So y'all give him a hug. He's, you know, that's all that's going to sustain him. I'm sure he's going to go home and cry after tonight.
I'm just going to come back.
Amen, brother.
Can't run me off that easy.
Thank you for your help. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. I enjoyed every moment that you allowed me to be here. You know, you were saying that when your pastor drives here, you know, pray for him because anything could happen. I don't have a great sense of direction, but I've got a sense of direction somewhat. And I was driving to St. Louis. I've been up there numerous times. My daughter lives there. And so we know the paths. It's once you get past Memphis, it's a two-lane road, basically. There's nothing out there. And anyway, you do have to make a little Y in the road to go to St. Louis after you leave Memphis. And my wife and I were driving along, and she had a crossword puzzle book. She likes to do that kind of stuff, especially when we're driving. She don't like to look at the road when I'm driving. She just keeps her head down. It makes life easy. Some of you men, you're laughing because you know it's the truth. Anyway, we're doing that crossword puzzle, and I'm just driving to St. Louis. Just nothing out there, occasionally a hawk on the power lines. And after about 2 hours, I'm seeing a city coming up. And I had that dumbfounded look on my face. I said, there shouldn't be a city coming up. I said, where are we? She took out her Waze and she said, that's Little Rock. And I said, no way. I said, Little Rock? I looked, it was 2 hours we've been going the wrong way. And we were just moseying right along. I missed my why. I went, the road goes kind of straight and I should have taken the right. 2 hours out of the way, 2 hours back. My wife didn't say anything. She just, she could have said, poonk. So things can happen on the road. You have to keep your mind on what you're doing. So the next time I was like, we're not doing crossword puzzles until after the why. Because then there's nothing else I can get off on. Thank you for letting me be here tonight and these other nights. I'm not a preacher, but you've allowed me to become a better speaker because of this opportunity. I do preach in my church this Wednesday night. I'll be speaking maybe the same message depending on if I get any amens. If I get some omies, I'll just get something else to preach. I test in and out tonight. But it has been a joy. I enjoyed meeting all of you. Some of you I've known, some of you I haven't. But thank you. Thank you tonight for the good music choir, for the good piano playing, for the men that take up the offering. Thank you for all you do here. I'm excited to hear a good word from you men after you get your pastor and see how things are going here. Thank you again. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 28. Sunday night, I've got to get what I can because about 20 minutes from now, y'all start to glaze over. And after that, it doesn't matter what I say. I'm just like, it's like on that, what is it? Charlie Brown. I sit out, my preacher's a great preacher, but after a certain time, all of a sudden I realize, you know, I haven't heard a word he said in 10 minutes. I'm looking right at him, but I'll try and I have a message I probably wouldn't be able to get through, so I'm not going to rush. I'm just going to give you what we have time for. Exodus chapter 28. We're going to look in 9 through 12 at first here, if you'll follow along as I read out loud. In Exodus 28, verse 9. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone and on the other six names on the rest on the other stone according to their birth. You got that? According to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouchets or settings. I don't know what that word ouchets is, but it means settings of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod. That's what an, if you ever wonder what an ephod was, and I have, upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of a memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Very interesting. You have the ephod he wears on his shoulders. This is the priest's garment, and it's got two different places, one on either side, where the names of the children of Israel are written in onyx stones set in gold by their date of birth. Look in the same chapter, Exodus 28, look in verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning stone, cunning work. After the work of the ephod shalt thou make it of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Now look in verse 17 to 21. And thou shalt set in it settings of stone, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, a carbuncle, and this shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, and an... Hello. No, you're not bothering me. I'm just wondering what you're up to. You lose somebody? Anyway, let's keep going. And the third row shall be a ligure, and an agate, and an amethyst, and the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper, and they shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Look at verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. So you have the breastplate described here that goes over his heart. And guess what? Same names. It's just duplicated. The names on his shoulders, the names over his heart. The priest carried these names on the onyx stones and precious stones. He carried the names. These are names, not just tribes. These are names of people. On precious. God just didn't want them written on paper or put into stitching. He wanted them to be stone, permanent. And they were put on precious stones. I couldn't even read some of them. If you're a jeweler, you know some of those stones better than I do. But they're precious stones. And that's what God's children are to him. You are precious to God. And you notice it was by their birth. In other words, God not only knows who you are and you're precious to him, he knows all about you. He's a God that individually cares for us. Yes, he redeemed the world. And he redeemed those of us, he redeemed the world through the cross. And those of us that are saved are his children. And you're precious, and he knows you as an individual. First of all, I want you to think of this. In Revelation 21, 12, do you know that the gates, when you get up to heaven, the gates of pearls, they also have names written over every gate. And they're the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, had them on his shoulders, had them on his chest. When you get to heaven, you'll walk in, whatever ticket you got, it'll say, you know, I hate when you go to LSU and they say, you walk up to, I don't go enough to know the whole place well, but now I got ticket 21C, that's what gate I got to go in, or 102C. I'm always on the other side of the stadium. So you got to walk and walk, and then finally, imagine getting to heaven, and they got four gates on either side, and your gate is, okay, I'm at gate one, I got to go 1,500 miles to gate four. So I'm not going to get into heaven for a long time. But the gates, you're going to know what gate to go in because you're going to go in at one of the tribes of Israel, Dan or Judah or Reuben. That's going to be over the gate that you go in. And also, when you see where we're going to live, the New Jerusalem, the foundations are all precious stones. And there's names in those of the 12 apostles. God's good about remembering and putting things in stone or in pearl, in that case, very precious. The ephod was carried on the priest's shoulders and, of course, the breastplate on his heart. Now, the ephod, I want you to think of this a minute. The shoulders are for carrying loads. Why did he duplicate this? Because one of them is the shoulders and one of them represents the heart. And God had his people. He understood the loads they were carrying and the burdens they were carrying. And he also understood their heartbreaks and their needs of their heart. So when the priest went in, he went in bearing their burdens and their heartaches before the Lord. And that was designed by God. He wanted this man to carry in before him the needs of the people. And that's what a priest's job is. In Numbers 7, chapter 7, verse 9, the sons of Korah had to carry the sanctuary on their shoulders, it says. They bore the burden of God's work on their shoulders, it says. And then also the Levites on their shoulders, it says. Specifically, they carried the ark. They didn't carry it like this. The Bible says they carried it on their shoulders, the Ark of the Covenant. That's what the ephod is. The breastplate speaks of love. Every Valentine kid knows from the time he's kindergarten that Valentine, the heart, represents love. God loves us. As a matter of fact, God, the one on his heart, he put him on the shoulders both. He put him in these settings of gold. Do you know how precious you are to God? God cares for you. He carries you on his heart. That was the priest's job. You know, God still keeps us and his people close to him. Isaiah 49, verse 16, the Bible talks about Israel. I'm not going to have you turn there for sake of time. Isaiah 49, 16, God said to Israel, I've got you graven on the palm of my hand. And the walls of Jerusalem. He said, you're so close to me. I understand. I think about you so much. I've got you graven on my hand, God said. I remember going in for surgery 20 years ago for my heart surgery. You heard me mention this. And one of the ladies, her and her husband, captained a route, one of our bus routes. And I remember before I went in for surgery, I don't know where I saw her. Maybe it's Sunday beforehand. She went like that. And she had my name on her hand. She said, I won't forget. I'll remember. That's what God does for his people, Israel. He said, I've got you engraved on my hand. And then how about the church? Zechariah 13:16 said the redeemed, the nail prints are in his hand. Talk about a reminder that God keeps all the time when he sees the hands. He's thinking of you and me, the redeemed. God carries us close. I'll have to read this to you. This for sake of time. I'd rather try and finish this than have you turning for so many verses. In Isaiah chapter 53, talk about God keeping us close and on his own shoulders and his heart. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he hath borne, speaking of shoulders, carrying, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He doesn't leave you alone, ma'am. He knows, sir, whatever you're facing. He keeps you close to his heart, bears your burdens. Even at the cross, he did so. You know, Jesus' burden, he has a burden for many things. He wants also to give you a burden to carry, one of his. And bearing the burdens of others for him is what God a lot of times calls us to do. You know, bearing burdens, if I have a burden or someone you know has a burden and you pick it up, whether it be a burden of a nation or whatever God's burden is, like George Mueller, for example, he had a burden God put on his heart. I mentioned it last week for the orphans of London. A burden will not make you weaker. It'll make you stronger. You know what the problem with Christians is nowadays? Most of them, a lot of them, not saying y'all, but in general, they don't want to carry a burden. They think what they're carrying is sufficient. I don't care how bad you got it. There's someone's burden you can help carry. A lot of people need some help. But it's God that sees their need and will lay it on you. It'll make you happier to pick up someone else's burden. You carry someone else's heavy burden. When you help them, you'll look at your life and say, you know, I'm thankful I don't have the burdens that they have. Because sometimes other people's burdens are heavy. But it won't hurt you. It'll help you, make me more useful. How about some examples tonight? And we'll be gone in a little bit. Look in Numbers chapter 11. Everybody, if you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Numbers chapter 11, look in verse 12. We're going to start with Moses. God gave Moses, the children of Israel, that burden for him to carry. Hey, look, folks, you might not have the shoulders to bear up under the burdens physically anymore. I don't care how, when you're older, but your heart can still, in the secret place of prayer, your heart can bear burdens that you physically can't carry anymore. I'm glad God called me when I was younger to do some of the ministries he did for 30, 40 years when I was younger. Because now that I'm getting older, my shoulders can't quite bear what they used to. Hey, when I was 24 years old and got saved, I got into bus ministry. We ran 60 and 70 all the time. Man, I had no problem carrying 60 or 70 on my shoulders. Now, give me a bus full of 60 and 70, I'd walk home with a twitch everywhere. I mean, I can't do what I did when I was younger. But getting old, Moses, he was what, 80 when God put this burden on him. 80 years old, and he did it for 40 more years. Look in Numbers chapter 11, look in verse 12. Here's Moses speaking. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which I swear unto their fathers. Here Moses said, you gave me this burden to carry. All these people, you laid it on me. Specifically, he said, God, you gave me this. And also, you think of what it was like for 40 years for him to carry that burden. When it got too heavy, he said, Lord, it's too heavy. God said, good, I'll get some other men to share your burden. There's going to be a pastor standing in the pulpit right here shortly. All of you men are going to have to say, don't carry it, preacher. Don't carry this whole burden on your own. I recall a man that we're speaking of, Moses, went to the top of a mountain and lifted up the rod and stood there, and the battle went great with Joshua against the Amalekites. But when Moses couldn't hold the burden anymore, he let it drop and the enemy came in. So here's Aaron and Hur. They came along, helped him bear his burden. They picked him up. They set him down. They grabbed his hands and held that rod up. Your pastor's going to need someone to help him bear his burdens. Don't make him carry it all himself. Come alongside and help him with that burden. Even though God gives it to you, sometimes wisdom is, I need some help here. Nothing wrong with asking for help. But God put a big burden on Moses. He went to keeping sheep at 80 years old to taking, almost 3 million people across the desert. They didn't have water. They didn't have food. They didn't have anything. It was desert. But God knew he could handle that. God prepared him his whole life. God has prepared you for the burden he'd like to give you or that you need to pick up even if it's not offered. There's opportunities just to pick one up. How about this man, Nehemiah? Look in Nehemiah chapter 1. I hope you can get there because I'd like you to see it. Nehemiah. God placed a burden on Nehemiah. He was just a layman. And all the children of Israel, a big bunch of them, had gone back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem had been invaded and all the walls torn down. The whole place is burned with fire. And a remnant, a group went back there. And Nehemiah, he's not with them. He's in the king's palace. And he asks about them. Nehemiah chapter 1, look in verse 3 to 6. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, for thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house we have sinned. Number one, he sees the distress. It can't take you too long, ma'am, or sir, or teenager. It can't take you too long to look around you and see the distress in someone's life that you know. Maybe a stepbrother, stepsister. Maybe a brother and sister. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe a bus kid that comes. One of the little bus kids that rides my bus, his mom's been going through, dialysis. You know it's hard on the little boy, seeing his mama come home, her arms are just full of big knots. I mean, just horrible knots. She's going through a tough time. And he's got little burdens to carry himself. And boy, I want to be there when I see him, to lift his burdens, to carry them for him for whatever time I can. Look in Nehemiah chapter 2, same book, one chapter. Look in verse 2 and 3. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? He had heart problems right here, broken heart. When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof burned with fire, he had sorrow of heart. Look in verse 11 to 12, same chapter. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart. Who? God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. God, up in heaven, looked down at the children of Israel. And God, it broke his heart to see them in Egypt and in all their problems. And God said, I need a man that'll pick up my burden and go to them and help them. I want to put my burden on Moses. And he did. Carried him a long time with God's sustaining help. Then he looked down at the remnant, this small group that went back to Jerusalem. And God had desires and plans and dreams for those people, for Jerusalem to be rebuilt, for the remnant to do. And God's wiping tears up in heaven and saying, man, look at their condition. It broke Nehemiah's heart when he heard about it. You know it moved God's heart. And if it didn't, God's not moved about your plight either when you have a need. He cares. And he cared about those people. And he said, I need a man that I can break his heart and I can put a burden on him. And it was Nehemiah, and he sent him back. And boy, Nehemiah went there, and that whole book of Nehemiah is about a man carrying that burden for those people and for that city until that wall got built, until those people got protected. What a joy to see a layman. He wasn't a pastor, just a man that God broke his heart because he needed someone. And then I like this. I'm not even going to, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read. I'm just going to mention Jeremiah. God's people. Now look, you have to understand this. This is, after you read your Bible time and time again, you'll see this. God is just. He's got to punish sin. But with one stroke of his hand, he's pronouncing judgment on you or the children of Israel, whomever. And with the other, he's wiping a tear. God does not delight in that. And the children of Israel, whom he, there in Jerusalem, after a while they were so wicked, the Bible said every imagination, just like the flood, they were wicked. And God said, you've all turned from me. I'm going to wipe Jerusalem clean. I'm going to send the Babylonians and the Assyrians. They're going to come and destroy this whole place. There's going to be death everywhere. And God looked down and he said, it's coming. Nothing's going to stop that. He said, but look what's going to happen. God said, my people are going to suffer. God has such a tender heart. Though he has to be just, if you don't believe me, look at the end of every chapter. Judgment, 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 judgment. And I mean, the end of every book. And somewhere toward the middle of the end of the book, he says, but I'm going to bring you back. But I'm going to make straight paths for your feet one day. You're coming back. Your city's going to be rebuilt. That city's now that's empty is going to be filled with kids. God's on one hand, he's bringing judgment. And on the other hand, he's telling the future, I've got a plan for you. God was weeping up in heaven, I believe, with all my heart. His heart was broken. He said, I need to lay a burden on a man's heart that'll go to my people and have been pronounced warning and judgment and breaking and have a heart and a broken heart to have tears for them. And God called Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He called him for a reason. He exemplified the heart of God, weeping over those children, weeping over the husbands and the wives, even though judgment's coming. God's heart was broken. Jeremiah did that. He preached. He said, oh, that my head were a fountain of waters, my eyes, tears. He said, everything you read, it just says, he wept and wept and preached. God gave to Jeremiah a broken heart. Pick the right man to carry that burden. You know, you have a burden maybe that God wants you to carry, maybe coming up, that I can't carry. Only you can carry it. Don't turn away from it. It'll make you stronger, happier, more useful. Jeremiah was just the right man. Nehemiah was just the right man. I think of David. Nobody is a greater, hardly man of God than David. But in this place, let me read it to you. This is in Psalm 142. I'm just going to turn quickly there. Psalm 142, here's what David wrote. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. There's somebody like that in your circle of life. Might be a next door neighbor. Might be somebody on a bus route. Might be in your son's. Might be in his church. David sure could have used. Did God lay that burden on someone's heart to come help him? No. But there was the need for someone to step up and say, I got your back, brother. We'll go through it together. I know you're overwhelmed, but God's for you. Even the great David needed someone to stand in there and carry his burden. I like that when David was running from King Saul, thousands of troops after him. King Saul was trying to kill him. Jonathan leaves the house. That's Saul's son that's trying to kill David. Jonathan goes all the way out in the woods and in the mountains and in the hills and the wilderness and finds David. For what reason? To bear his burden, to lift him, to encourage him. Because he knew David probably needed that. Maybe he heard David saying this. Maybe someone told him, boy, David's depressed. Man, you should have heard his prayer the other night. And Jonathan said, I'm going. I'm off. I'll be out there tomorrow. Give me my horse. I heard my buddy's depressed. I heard my buddy needs someone to lift him up. And Jonathan and David were tight. Jonathan lifted his burden. We are living without any burdens other than our own. That's not right. You'll be a weak Christian. Look at me. You will be a weaker Christian than you could be, a less useful Christian if you only... Now, you don't have to carry a 60-person bus route. But you can carry one, can't you? Can't you find one kid that comes here every week, whether it comes with the parents or somebody in your subdivision, your next-door neighbor? Can't you learn his name and be his friend and encourage him in the Lord? Can't you get one of your missionaries? You don't have to pray for all of them every day if you can't. But certainly you can take the burden on of one of your missionaries. Say, he's mine. I'm going to get on the email list with him. I'm going to email him. I'm going to find out his needs. I'm going to, and in a prayer meeting, you're the man that carries his burden. You don't carry the whole church's burden, but you carry that one missionary. You can do that. You can get a burden to make you a happier person. Oh, you'll be so happy when you come to prayer meeting because you have a burden that you've been carrying on your shoulders and your heart. I've been a bus captain for a long time. I need this message. As a priest, he carried them on his shoulders and on his what? Heart. On Sundays, you know what we do with our Sunday school class? Put that burden on our shoulders and we carry it all day Sunday. You corral the kids, you bless the kids, you teach the kids, you prepare for the lesson. If you're pastoring or teaching or preaching or whatever you're doing here, you're carrying that burden on Sunday. And boy, thank God. I used to do it in my bus route. I get off my bus route kind of like I did today. I walk in, I throw something up in the air to eat, and on the way to the bedroom, I snatch it out of the air and I just kump, and fall down the bed. I mean, just out. It takes me seconds and I'm out. Because I've been driving a bus or a van and dealing with kids. It doesn't have to be 60. Right now you give me 10 and I'm tired after carrying them on my shoulders. I'm taking out my wallet. I'm giving them my time. I'm driving here to Timbuktu, picking them up and all that, and I'm carrying them on my shoulders. But if Monday I don't carry them on my heart, I'm just half of what God's called a priest to do. And the Bible said we're all priests, didn't he? He said he's all made us priests and kings. Go ahead and carry him on your shoulders. But if you don't carry him on your heart during the week, you're missing maybe the love that's supposed to be coupled with our service. Oh, you can carry your preacher, man. Hey, man, preacher, good to see you, preacher. How you doing, preacher? But if Monday, if you're not on your knees, you're just carrying him on your shoulders, which that's okay. But some people need us to carry him before the Lord on our heart. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Does God really do this? Lay burdens on your heart? How about this? A man, the Son of God, beaten nearly to death. I think if you'd seen him, you would have seen plenty of bone. Front and back, bone, carrying an old rugged cross, barely off his knees. And God reached out and touched Simon. Said, there's a burden, sir, I need you to carry for me. My son can't carry that burden. And Simon took the cross, and the Bible says he carried it. God still got some burdens that he carries that he wants us to carry. The Son of God couldn't go another step. Simon carried that burden. How about when he was on the cross? There's all the disciples and his mama and other ladies, and he looks down and he said, I need someone. He's going to pick up the burden that I've carried for 33 years for my mama. I've been carrying her in my heart, but I'm not going to be here. John, behold thy mother. Mary, behold thy son. He gave that burden. John didn't ask for it. He didn't even accept it. God just said, it's yours. I'm giving you my mama. wow, that could change your life. If you came home with me tonight and you moved in with me and you had now to be part of my household, that's going to change my life. Change everything about my household. Guess who went home with John that night? Mary did. Now it's his burden. God's still doing such things. If you don't have a burden, look around. There's lonely people at the nursing home. Couldn't you get one? It's okay just to have one. Get one at the nursing home. Just go to the nursing home. We'll ask the people at the front desk, is there anybody that doesn't get any visitors? And then go sit with them and say, I'll be back next Saturday morning. I'll be back next week, next week, next week. Make them your burden. Carry them on their shoulders. Meet their family. Carry them on your heart during the week. You'll come back and say, that was the best thing I ever heard, Brother Robert. I went and got me a burden. Dr. Hiles, I heard him tell a story one time. A lady came to him. She said to Dr. Hiles, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I can't handle it no more. What do I do? He said, bake cookies. She said, no, you didn't hear me. I've got emotional problems, nervous problems. I don't know how to do it. He said, make cookies. She goes, how is making cookies going to help me? He said, when you make a bunch of cookies, I want you to put them in a little box or something, wrap them up, and I want you to find someone that you need, that needs cheering up or could use some encouragement. You go give it to them. Make that your burden, your ministry. He said, she came back about a month later, or he saw her about a month later, and he said, hey, how's your condition? You feeling any better? She said, what condition? Bearing her burdens had helped her. Forget about hers even. Now, of all the things I've read tonight, you got to read this one. Please turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm about ready to wrap this up. Matthew chapter 11. Look in verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Very familiar ground. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now that does speak of salvation's rest. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. I told you it wasn't going to be hard. And my burden is light. God said, I want you to, once you're saved. He said, now a yoke is for two oxen. Jesus said, I'm carrying burdens. And I need you to get in the yoke with me. I'll do all the heavy lifting. You can put it on your shoulders. And you don't have to worry. It's not going to be too heavy for you. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And we're going to take care of these burdens that I call you to. And after you get saved, he says, I want you to get in here with me. Do you know how you learn of somebody? You work with them. You know the Hunts. The Hunts used to go here. Olivia and Sarah, I work on my bus route with me. I know them pretty good now. They've been working with me maybe a year and a half, 2 years now. If they had not worked with me in the yoke on the bus route, you know what I would know about them? Very little. Teenagers don't come up to me and say, hey, can I sit by you, Brother Robert? No. None of them do. Never have. A five-year-old does while they're in my class, and after they turn six, they don't know who I am. But I know them well. You want to get to know Jesus, get in the yoke with him. Carry his burden, and you'll find. He said, didn't he say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? That's how you learn of him. I know you're all familiar with the verse in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's talk about us here. In James, there's an exhortation given. It says, don't be kind of Christian like this that tells somebody, oh, go ahead, be warmed and filled, but yet you don't give them anything to be warmed and filled with. Well, we don't want to be Christians that we see people with a burden and come by and say, hey, man, God bless you. I'm so sorry you got to go through that. No, pick them up. Put them on your heart. Tell them, look, I'm going to carry you on my shoulders. I'm going to put your burden on my heart. I'm going to help you, sir, in this. And do so. How about the Good Samaritan? Man, he's on his happy way. and there's a man in the ditch. And some other nice people, good religious people, walked by and saw his burden and said, I ain't picking up that burden. I got burdens of my own. And then the Levite came by and said, oh my goodness, do you know what it would cost me to take care of, lift his burden for a while to help that man? I've got my own burden. I don't have time for him. But then the Good Samaritan came along and said, oh my. He just took his coat right off, ran into the ditch of sin, picked him up, poured in oil and wine, held him, comforted him, told him it's going to be okay, put him on his own beast, and now he's got to walk. He walks all the way to the inn, tucks him in, gets him a room, provides whatever he needs, and he gives the innkeeper more money. He picked all that burden up and carried him. And I guarantee you, when he left, he said, God, thank you for letting me cross that guy's path. He didn't walk away saying, now I don't have enough money to get me a cheeseburger. Now I don't even have enough money to fill up my truck all the way. I got to fill it up a quarter tank. He was so thrilled. God, thank you. How about the palsied man laying on his bed, could not move. He can't bear his own burden. He's sick, can't walk. But four of his buddies came in there and said, hey, Jesus is about 2 miles away having a meeting in somebody's house. We're taking you. He said, I can't go. I wish I could. And they said, no, we'll bear your burden. Man, they each grabbed a corner of his bed. It took four of them. Look at me. The church has to work like this and independently. The bus route, people give to run the bus. They give to put the gas. They give to run the bus. They give for the insurance. They give to buy the bus. Somebody's got to visit it. Somebody's got to be the secretary. We all work together on stuff. But these guys, they picked up. It took all four. Three of them, the job would not have gotten done. Took four of them to bear the burden. And they got that guy to Jesus, and he got saved. And he got healed. Wow. But four of them were willing to spend their time lugging this guy, tied rope, I believe, to his bed and carried it like on their shoulders, amen? But it started in their heart. When they got to the roof, let him down. And Jesus looked up and went, I had a burden for him too. Thanks for taking my burden on your hearts. That's what it is. You're carrying his burdens. Paul carried burdens, didn't he, for the church, for the Gentiles. He had such a burden, he said, I wished myself accursed, separated from God that I might win my people. God put that in his heart. He was so obsessed with winning the Jews and winning the Gentiles and the care of all the churches. Don't turn down or turn away a burden that God gives you. How about this? This is it. Of course, the heaviest burden any man carries is the burden of sin. You can't carry anybody else's burdens until you know the Lord. If you're not saved, you got a burden that only Jesus, I can't even lift that load. But the Master died for you. He can lift your burden of sin and set you free tonight. How about this song? You familiar with this? Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his name or blush to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Is there no foe for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? And this veil world, a friend of grace to help one on to God. Surely I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by his word. Nobody wants extra burdens. Who wants that? Does that even sound? If you went to a conference and said, we're going to have a conference on increasing your burdens, nobody'd go. But we've got a master that says, I'll bear it all. My burden's easy. My yoke is light, my burden's easy. Just please step in with me. There's somebody. Oh my goodness. Don't ever come and tell me I can't find somebody. Because they're everywhere. Any trip to the nursing home, any trip to the hospital, you don't even have to be know anybody at the hospital. It won't take you 10 minutes. You can sit down beside somebody and say, here's a gospel tract. If you have any needs, man, us at Grace Baptist, we'd like to help. And they'll say, I'll tell you why I'm here. And there you are. Someone's burden you can lift. They're everywhere, especially the lost. You can bring their cause to the Savior that can lift their load. Hey, thank you for listening tonight. I could have stopped on my second point. You got the gist. But that's what preachers do. They give you the point in the first 5 seconds and they just hammer for 30 minutes. I just preach them because that's what I learned. But sometimes you have to drive home a message for us to leave and say, I could get somebody's burden. We have, how many missionaries? I don't know how many you carry. There's some missionary you support needs you. Needs your email every Monday morning saying, I prayed for you all week. I hope you're doing well. But that's not hard, but that's, if you're on the mission field, that'd mean a lot to you. Would you all bow your head and close your eyes? Would you all just stand to your feet for a minute, nobody looking? Just all stand while the ladies come to the instrument. Maybe tonight, as I spoke on this subject, maybe you've got burdens that you need us to help you with. The man, the Good Samaritan, stopped to help that man. He couldn't pick up any more burdens. He was in the ditch of sin. Sometimes you need some help, like David called out, I have no man. We can help you. You can ask Brother Artis or me or anybody in this church. We'll help you. And tonight you're saying to yourself, I'm going back to my house. There's no burdens at my house. My life is my own. Oh, how sad. You could be so happy in the Lord.